Thanks for joining us online at Highland Park Presbyterian Church. We're so glad you're here. On this podcast, you'll hear weekly teaching from God's Word, featuring messages from our incredible preaching staff and a variety of guest speakers. We hope the following message leaves you feeling encouraged and deepens your relationship with Christ. Enjoy the episode, and thanks for listening.
Well, I bet most of you thought you were all finished with me, but your strange little Uncle Jimmy is now back one more time, very honored to be part of Thomas's installation service. And as a bonus from the Pacific Northwest, I brought you nice winter weather. That came with me on the plane. Okay, the assignment today is to preach a sermon about Advent that takes a passage I've never preached on in my life, Isaiah 35, to wrap it together with a charge to Thomas, and to wrap it together with a charge to all of you in honor of this installation service. So, you can just pray for me, because this is a new one. I'm kind of old, and I've never done this before. But let's listen first to the text that comes from Isaiah 35. So many amazing images in this passage. The wilderness and the dry land shall be glad. The desert shall rejoice and blossom like the crocus. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice with song and joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given to it, the majesty of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord, the majesty of our God. So strengthen those weak hands and make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who have an anxious heart, be strong. Fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, with the recompense of God. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then the lame man leap like a deer and the tongue of the mute sing for joy, for waters break forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. The burning sand shall become a pool, and the thirsty ground springs of water. In the haunt of jackals where they lie down, the grass shall become reeds and rushes, and a highway shall be there, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it. It shall belong to those who walk on the way. Even if they are fools, they shall not go astray. No lion shall be there, nor shall any ravenous beast come upon it. They shall not be found there, for the redeemed will walk there, and the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing. Everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. They shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I love knowing where I'm going and how I'm going to get there. I love maps and brochures. I'm actually one of those strange people who gets all the brochures in the lobbies of hotels, and I take them with me, airport kiosk. I love knowing where I'm going, and I kind of like a direct route. And so if I had to spend 40 years wandering in circles with Moses in the wilderness after Egypt and before the promised land, I might have grumbled. Is anybody with me on that? Do you grumble when you don't know where you're going? Uh-huh. The Christian life is a magnificent adventure, and it is often perplexing. Yes. It's often perplexing. The brochure that I just read from the Bible will indicate to you that there are some delays and some discouragements and some detours. We have entered the kingdom of God, But we still live in this world. We know Jesus as the Holy Spirit has entered into our hearts, but very few of us have given over to Jesus the whole place. There's an already nature to the Christian life, and there is a not yet nature of the Christian life. Already, not yet. Would you turn to your neighbor and just say, already, not yet? Okay, thank you. They needed to hear that. Eugene Peterson writes that we live in a hell-permeated, heaven-penetrated world. Think about that. We live in a hell-permeated, heaven-penetrated world. And so, if you want to hear a picture of finally where we're going, I'm going to take you to the book of Revelation, and I'm going to take you to the 21st chapter of Revelation, and just let you hear it again. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them and they will be his people. And God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. And death shall be no more. Neither shall mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore. For the former things have all passed away. That's heaven penetrating. But we still live in hell permeating this world. And so Isaiah 35 gives you a picture of where we can expect to go, even in the midst of this very complicated world. The text is showing the heavenly penetration of this old world, and it's good news. And the reason the text shows up in Advent is that this happens because of the touch of the Messiah. The Messiah is here being revealed, creating these amazing things, because Jesus is the one who has penetrated earth with heaven. The kingdom of God was quietly inaugurated at Jesus' birth at Christmas. Something started there. They got more full 30 years later, but something started there that is still affecting you today. The kingdom of God is not a spatial place out there. It's something alive among us, inside of us. And we all, in effect, have joined the conspiracy of the kingdom of God in the middle of this hell-permeated world. And so it's like living in two worlds at the same time. It's like having two things going on. C.S. Lewis, as he presented Narnia to us, showed us it's just kind of just through this little wardrobe that you get into this other world. And the other world at that moment was where it was always winter, but never Christmas. Ooh. That would be this cold every morning, no Christmas, no lights. Ooh, our citizenship is in heaven. So the whole map of our life is showing that you live in two worlds at the same time. So just hold up the number two. You're living in two worlds. Now, there are places where you can kind of step into two worlds at the same time. There are a couple of bridges over the Red River, and you can find a place on that bridge where you can put one foot in Texas and one foot where I grew up in Oklahoma, and you can just kind of straddle. That's two worlds. I'm not going to tell you which one is hell and which one is heaven. Y'all can figure that out, but I'm just saying that's the already and the not yet. It means that we have to have people along life's way reminding us that that's the way this thing is. That's why testimonies, faith stories of God's faithfulness are so important to sustain us. faith sharing with other people who are a little ahead of you in the faith remind you, oh yeah, that's why this is kind of a mess. That's why I'm seeing some of this everlasting joy, but not all of it. I've told you before about my mother suffered a lot, 27 major operations on joints in her body with terrible rheumatoid arthritis. Most vivid, joyful person I think I've ever known. Do you see that mix? Living in two places at once. When I used to come to conferences here at Highland Park Presbyterian long ago, I would always stay with Granny Franny, who was Frances Hawkins. And she would let me stay in her house, and we would, and you know, she did not have an easy life. And yet she was just penetrated with this amazing joy. If you ever got to know Woody Strodel on the staff, again, amazing. He could live in two worlds. There are a lot of folks who know how to do that. You read the stories of Corrie ten Boom or Dietrich Bonhoeffer or Horatio Spafford, who wrote that great song about trusting God in the middle of his family dying in a shipwreck. Fanny Crosby singing Blessed Assurance when she's blind. I mean, these are people who live in both worlds. Do you live in two worlds at the same time? Hell permeated, heaven penetrated. Acts 14, 22 is not on a single refrigerator magnet except one I've made for myself. It's on my refrigerator. But it's not, you can't buy it in a bookstore. And it says, through many tribulations or hardships, we enter the kingdom of God. Now, who wants that on their refrigerator? Kelsey, is that on your refrigerator? No, but I'm telling you, that's where we live. Turn to your neighbor and say, that's where we live. Mm-hmm. Okay, so the text in Isaiah 35 starts out with a whole bunch of images about creation being restored. It's like there's a new earth coming or something. Nature is personified. The desert is now actually glad. The wilderness is now rejoicing. The crocus are bursting into bloom in the midst of what looked like a terrible desert. Crocus are the first flowers up when snow is still on the ground. But this is how, I mean, the whole first four or five verses, the Dallas Garden Club really ought to cut those out and put them on their refrigerator. I mean, this is what's about to happen. Seeing the glory of the Lord unveiled before us, it's amazing to show that creation is getting to undo the curse of the fall. But that desert image is also a metaphor. And I wonder how many of you have found yourself on various days just spiritually dry. Everybody around you is kind of rejoicing. We were just singing the first Noel, and you've been worried about things all week, and you're still worried about them this morning, and anxiety's got you. You see, you're living in these both worlds. You're singing the truth, and you're struggling with the dryness in your own soul. And yet that's going to be dealt with, because the map is taking us to a place where there are no more fears, no more tears, no more crying, no more death, for the former things have passed away. You're on your way. The map is taking you into this kingdom. Secondly, there are mentions in this text of bodies that are growing old. Anybody got a body that's starting to grow old? Let's see those hands. More of them will be at 11 o'clock, but still, you sense, I mean, feeble hands, weak knees. I've got a bad knee this week. I mean, so you begin to go, okay, I'm starting to feel with this. But again, the text is telling us that this is going to change. Now, we know from 2 Corinthians, you're going to get a new body. Thank goodness we're going to get a new body. But even now, water is coming into this dry heart. Springs of living water. Our eyes are starting to see. Our ears are starting to hear. Our tongues are letting loose. God is doing something with us even in the right now that's going to eventually be even more. At the end of your days, even more. But some of us need to have prayers for healing even right now. And some of those have to do with your souls. Some of those have to do with your own spiritual blindness. Some of that has to do with your own spiritual inability to hear the Lord. Do you want God in this Advent to touch you afresh? Yeah, there's going to always be some already and some not yet, but there's more. And life in the Holy Spirit brings you more. The third thing that comes up in this passage is a brand new highway. Brand new highway through the desert, it says. Wow. That highway through the desert sounds like exiles coming home. It sounds like people getting out of Egypt. It sounds like you getting out of wherever you've been stuck and on that road. No unclean or wicked are going to walk on it. No lions on the road. No ferocious beast. Only the redeemed are going to be walking on this road. You get this picture of, oh, that's the map where we're going. We're going to try to all get on that road. And there's going to be everlasting joy on that road. In not intermittent joy, not a little bit of joy, but everlasting joy is on that road. And I told you last year, joy and happiness are two different things. Happiness comes from how circumstances work out. Joy comes from the presence of Jesus in the midst of your circumstances. That gets good. So everlasting joy might be the major marker of the people on this road. N.T. Wright wrote this. Joy has everything to do with God rescuing his people. When God finally does something that people have been waiting for, joy is not just an emotion. It's a whole way of looking at the world. You can feel joy. You can be sustained in joy. But there are days when everlasting joy is not on our map in this hell-permeated, heaven-penetrated world. It's through tribulations we enter the kingdom of God. We do see sorrow and sighing flee away, but not every day. We do see amazing taste of everlasting joy many days, but not every day. So you keep going in the already and the not yet. And it's hard to keep that balance with your map. But that's where you are, in fact, going. You get a little taste of this highway on Palm Sunday. When all these people are heading into Jerusalem, waving palm branches, and it's full of joy, and Jesus is coming into town, and people are so excited, and there was huge responses of joy on that Palm Sunday. But you remember, it wasn't lasting because it was just a few days later when they were crucifying him and when they were taking him out to be killed, and he was being beaten. But then again, the joy comes back a little slow on Easter morning, but it comes back. And then it comes back again on Pentecost. Advent leads to Jesus. And Jesus leads you into a new kingdom where there is everlasting joy. Does your map have both of those dynamics? And do you have a church that reminds you that both of those things are real? And do you never let go till you find out this is what God is doing? So that is Isaiah 35. Now I get to talk to Thomas. So y'all can take a little nap. Just close your eyes. And Thomas gets to stand up. And in a service of installation, there is a charge. So the rest of this is only being directed to TD, who I love and adore, and am so glad he is here. Thomas, you are here after this church has gone through a long 2-year wait. The search committee knows all about already and not yet. They kind of live through that, and you live through some of that. So I have two charges for you. I want you to keep leading these people to Jesus and to all the joy that is available to us in the Holy Spirit. Be ready for people outside this place to come in and find a fresh, joyous encounter with Jesus. Because when Jesus is here, it gets really good. Help them read the map that helps them understand both the dimensions we've been talking about today. Two, don't forget your part in this story. It's kind of limited. You're not the one who has to provide the joy. Did you know that? Doesn't have to come from you. You don't turn deserts into crocus blooming, and you don't make springs of water. Think about Palm Sunday again. Who are you in the Palm Sunday story? Let's see the picture of Palm Sunday again. Where is it? Come on, picture, come back. Picture of Palm Sunday, come back. It's time for picture of Palm Sunday. There we are. Okay, if you look in this picture, who are you? You are the donkey. Yeah, I know you weren't sure about that. That's all the role you've got to play. Now, some people kind of pick on donkeys, but they're good beasts. And you are carrying Jesus into this place. That's the only job you've got. And that job, folks, that job of bringing Jesus in has a long history in this place. Billy Elliot did it. Clayton Bell did it. My redheaded twin brother, Ron Skates, did it. Brian Dunnigan, all of them faithfully brought Jesus here. Joe Reitmeier did. Harry Hassel did. Jim Bankhead did. Peter Barnes did. Murray Gossett did. Emily Skates did. Cameron Beatty did. Sterling White did. Charlie Dunn did. You just be you. Just bring in Jesus. That's your only job, to joyously carry Jesus among the people. And into every expression of this desert, it'll bloom, body and soul get healed, filled with the glory of God on this highway. But we want to step into as much of the already as we can. And your only job, just carry in Jesus. Just be the donkey. You be a good donkey. Okay, you can sit down now. And while now, at a service of installation, there has to be a word to the congregation. So Thomas gets to sit down. Y'all have to stand up. Stand up. Stand up. This word is just for you. Your job in this marriage feast that's going on today of pastor and congregation, your job is to follow Jesus, listen to this prophet, to dream, to be open, to be healed, to keep blossoming, to let this highway of the redeemed love this city, love this area, to unleash joy all through Highland Park, through Dallas, through the Metroplex, through Texas, even across the Red River. You just let joy flow. Don't stop it with whining. Just let the joy flow. You will face adversity. You will face confusion as a church. You'll face some disappointments. Keep seeking Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit, and keep seeking the power of the Holy Spirit with Thomas, and let this installation be a signal that you are moving toward everlasting joy in this hell-permeated, heaven-penetrated world. And all God's people said, amen. You may be seated.
We hope you enjoyed this message, and we look forward to connecting with you in person soon. Each week, we study God's Word together on Sundays at 8:15, 9:30, and 11 a.m. You can go to hbprez.org/Sundays to plan your next visit and stay updated on our current sermon series. God bless, and we'll see you next time.